Good morning. I'm going to have to check my computer when I'm done here because I'm pretty sure Tyler found one of my old song services from my last place. It's about half of those are things I would have picked. Thank you, Tyler. You may notice, if you can see very well from back there, a different thing going on my head this morning. I don't know if you understand the number of things that Mike does around here. And I could probably get a list rolling this morning if I worked hard enough. But just in the last week, Tyler, did we have any flickering yet today on the screen? We have any flickering on the screen today? That's because of that guy. And we had flickering on the screen last week after Ladies' Day and things got moved around. Like they are at your house sometimes when you start moving things and wires get moved, things just don't work the way they used to. And Mike troubleshot that, and then for some reason the same week, I got a short in my microphone, and so Mike found another one. I can't decide if I like this one yet or not. It's been sitting in a drawer somewhere, I'm sure, but it's good to know that there's options, and better to know that I can come in on Sunday, and it's all fixed, and I didn't do anything, which is kind of nice. So very appreciative of Mike and all the 100 things he does that I didn't mention this morning. He also played golf with me on Friday, and got to witness the thing that I have feared since I have moved here to Eugene. I drive down Oakway from time to time, going down to NCU for different things or going to that part of town. And every time I drive by that golf course, I think to myself, that hole that's beside the road would absolutely freak me out if I was playing on it. Because if it's coming this direction, I slice badly. And for those who are not golfers, a slice is one where it fades off that way. And so sure enough, I got up there to tee off, and I'm looking, and all I can see is the road over there. And so I get ready, and I go, boom, there it goes, right off into the road. And I'm waiting to hear the crash of cars or a windshield or something, and luckily it missed everybody, I think. But someone walking down Oakway found a free golf ball on Friday. Anyhow, as we get started this morning, we want to recognize our graduates, and I know not all of these are here today, but you've got this in your bulletin. I'd like to share it with you also. Here are our graduates for 2015. Emily Foreman graduated from the Oregon Connections Academy. She's working full-time as a dog trainer, hopes to go to college for criminal justice and learn how to train police dogs. She is the daughter of Brett and Denise. Jacob Wilson graduated from Willamette High School. His plans are to join the Air Force this fall. And Jacob is Mike and Karen Hubbard's grandson. Mindy Currington graduated from Mohawk High School. She is Colita's granddaughter. Emily Locke graduated from North Eugene High School. Her plans are to attend Oregon State and study engineering. She is Lance and Jennifer's daughter. Kelsey McLaughlin graduated from the University of Oregon's Music School with a degree in music performance. She is Carl and Lois's granddaughter. And Ken Latham graduated from Northwest Christian University with a master's degree in clinical mental health counseling. He might need to work with me after my golf game on Friday. He's now working at the Veterans Center with veterans who have been in combat. The graduates who are here, would you mind standing for a moment? I know I saw some of you. And while you're standing, while you're still standing, Ken, let's have a prayer for you guys. God, we are thankful this morning for the graduates who are among us and also for those who couldn't be here. We ask as they begin a new phase in life, whether it's going on to college or leaving college or just being able to be done with classes for a while and studying, that you will bless them in this new part of life. For those who it's moving on to a new location, that you will guide them, that you will lead them to a church family where they're going to be, that they can plug into and get closer to you. Whatever phase in life that they may be going into, help them to see you at work there and help them to be a blessing to those around them. In your son's name we pray, amen. All right, if you'd like to turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to take a little detour from the life of Christ this morning, although we might find a way to end up there anyway. Hebrews chapter 11. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, Or maybe in our case, in the beginning, God created. Every good story has a beginning. Every good story has a start. And it's funny to me how as we get so swept up in story, how we can remember so many pieces of those stories. I had a child homesick from school one day this week. And when I came home, he was watching The Empire Strikes Back. And I sat down and I thought to myself, I have not watched this movie in years. And I'm in my head quoting every line as it goes by, because I love that movie. We get swept up in story in our world. And I think the people around us can see that and try to gear stories towards us that will affect us and move us towards action of one kind or another. And I want to ask you this morning, what is your story? Now, this is geared a little more today towards some of these graduates and where they may be thinking in life right now and the things going through their minds, but I think it can apply to all of us. What is your story? And I don't know if you've ever quite thought about it in that way. We are living out stories. Some of us share those stories with others, some of us don't. I had a friend in high school, Robert, who was a plane guy. And if you were to walk into Robert's room, he liked building models. And Robert had, I believe it was 18 or 19 model airplanes hanging from his ceiling. Put little eye screws up into the ceiling, brought them down with fishing wire so they looked like they were flying in some sort of formation. He loved airplanes. He wanted to be a pilot when he grew up. He would come to my house and sit down at the kitchen table with my grandfather. Grandfather was a gruff old guy, didn't hear very well. He was a gunsmith. We didn't have a lot in common, my grandfather and I. Every now and then there'd be some sports thing we would talk about. But he was a hunter. I wasn't much of a hunter. He was into everything guns, and I didn't really care about any of that stuff. Robert would come in and sit down with him, and I would hear more stories about his time in the Air Force when Robert would come over than I had ever heard before. And he had these incredible experiences of life that we had never really just sat down and talked about. He had a story to tell and just had to find that right person to share it with. And so again, I want you to think, what is your story? What is the story you're living out? For so many of you that are graduating right now, it's about to transition into a different part of life. There's some different experiences coming your way. Some things are going to get more difficult. Some things might get a little easier. I'm going to guess Ken, having finished a master's, is probably hoping it gets a little easier at this point. At the very least, he doesn't have to think about if he wants to read something, it's because he wants to read something. Not because someone has made him read something. And when he gets done reading that, he does not have to analyze it for you. He does not have to write you a paper or a review about it. He does not have to research it. He can just go on with life. And I'm sure April is saying amen, amen, amen. For Emily leaving high school, I would imagine there's a part of that that's exciting and new, and then you'll step onto a college campus, and it may come natural to you, or maybe a challenge to you. I was really smart in high school, if you could imagine, way back when. I was really smart then, and then I went into college and suddenly found out I was not all that smart. And it scared me a little bit, because everything had come natural to that point, and now I had to kind of work at it. I didn't quite know what to do. My story was beginning to change. But maybe more importantly than what our story is what is God's story? Because God has left us with this book that is filled with story after story after story about what it is that he's doing in our world. And so I want you to think this morning a little bit, not just about your own story, but what is God's story? In Hebrews chapter 11, God's story begins to come together. And what you see on the screen here is a genealogy. I can't remember if I've showed this to you guys before or not. As you look at all those names pass by, for some of them, they're ones you will remember. For some of them, they are people that some Bible class teacher taught you years ago, and you thought you'd remember that forever, but you can't quite put your finger on what that guy did. From the very beginning, he is working a story through Scripture. As it begins with Adam, he has something in mind for where all of this is going to lead to. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Hebrew writer begins, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." We have faith that God has worked. And I hope that we have faith that God continues to work. As he is writing his story through us and through all of these people that we will look at today. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. So God comes along and says, I'd like you to sacrifice, and I would like you to do it in this way. And Abel says, all right, that's what I'm going to do. And Cain says, got a better idea. I'm going to do it this way. And when God is displeased with one and pleased with another, then Cain gets jealous and everything starts to go off the rails. But we see in the example of Abel what is supposed to be happening in God's story. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life. I love the story of Enoch, although we have about that much of it. I don't know what he did so right that God just said, you know, let's just be done with the struggle of this life and bring him here with me. But Enoch, it's described that he walked with God. And maybe there's a piece of our story that we can learn from Enoch, that we can walk with God. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. There is a guy, I don't know if you've seen this online, I believe he's in Kentucky, who is building an ark. Now, he's building an ark, and it's not just him. There's like a bunch of people that are building it. But he's building this ark because he wants it to be something like a museum that people can come to and see and experience what the ark may have been like. For some reason, every time someone does one of these things, they can't do it with one window and one door the way it describes. But anyway, he's building this ark, and people around the world think this man is crazy. Now, some people think it's really cool. Some people want to take their family there on vacation and show them the ark. But a lot of people think this guy is nuts because he's building this ark. And think about that for a minute. We at least know the story. Now, you can agree with the story, not agree with the story. You can think it's allegory. You can think it's literal. But we know the story is there of what Noah did and the reasoning for it and what happened as a result. And this guy is just trying to build something to point us in that direction. And people think he's crazy. Imagine how crazy people thought Noah was. Water coming from the sky? It's not going to stop. We're going to end up in the ocean. What do you mean, Noah? This is the most crazy thing we've ever seen. And then as the water begins to fall, how people might have just desperately wanted to get on that boat, Noah in faith acted. By faith, Abraham. And Abraham's life is a series of faith moments, interrupted occasionally by a series of faith mess-ups. He's told to go without even being told where, and he goes. He's told that you will have a great nation come from you, and he laughs because his wife is too old. He is told, go and sacrifice, and he, even though he doesn't have anything other than his son with him, he knows God will provide. At every turn, he is told to have faith, and he does. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, down in verse 20. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned up on the top of the staff. By faith, Joseph. And if you were here on Sunday nights back in the fall, we spent a few weeks talking about Joseph. At every turn, Joseph does the right thing, and at every turn, life goes badly as a result. Now, he starts off a little frustrating as that teenage kid. You're all going to bow down to me. That's what I just dreamed. Might not want to share that one, Joseph. Brothers want to kill him, decide they're going to throw him in a pit instead. He is sold into slavery, and in that house he does the right thing, and still he finds himself in prison. And in prison he does the right thing and says, just remember me when you get out, and they forget. And then he does the right thing again, and he has a moment where he can have vengeance and decides not to take it, and everything eventually comes back together. By faith, Moses, his parents, hid him for 3 months after he was born. We talked about this on Mother's Day a few weeks ago. As Moses' parents hide him so he can live, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated with the people of God. By faith, the people walked across the Red Sea on dry land, and on and on and on it goes throughout this great chapter of faith. Which brings us to the question, where do we fit in? Where do we fit in this morning into God's story? Because I think a lot of times we will read this book and we will get to the end of Revelation and we will close it and we will move on. And this is a book that is finished and done like any other book that you have read is. And sometimes you get to the end of those stories and you want more. Sometimes you get to the end of those stories and you're not satisfied with where it stops and you think there should be more to it. And for us, the question is, where do we fit in to God's stories? In the end of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." Only together with us. So as Hebrews chapter 11 begins to close, Hebrews chapter 11 is not actually closing, because that story of faith continues on. There are people of faith who live lives that have brought you here this morning. Whether you're visiting because of graduates, whether you're coming through town, whether you're a regular member here, someone of faith somewhere along the way in your life has affected you in a way that has brought you to sit in the chair you sit in right now. And we could all take out a piece of paper and write our own Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, my great-grandmother did this. By faith, my aunt did this. By faith, my grandfather did this. By faith, that guy who sat next to me in band in seventh grade did this. By faith, here we are. And we are a part of this story. And I read these guys in Hebrews chapter 11. I read about Abraham. And if you came to me and said, "I want you to go," my first question would be, where? And for how long, and what's it going to cost, and do they want me there, and any number of things, but not, "I'm just going to get up and go." And I look at an Abraham, or I look at Joseph, who keeps doing the difficult thing when the easy thing is so much easier. I look at Abel, who just finds death as a result of doing the right thing. And I look at these people in Hebrews 11, and I feel very small. I feel very unworthy of being a part of this story. And yet God says to us, only together with us, this story continues. So then the next question is, who is writing your story? Who is writing your story? I enjoyed the Hobbit movies that were out recently. I didn't enjoy the Hobbit book as much in sixth grade when I had to read it and couldn't understand all that crazy Tolkien language as a 12-year-old. But I like those movies, and I like that they sent around this idea of somebody writing down a story of everything that's happening. And I think if someone is writing my story, I want to be standing right over their shoulder. Especially if they're writing what the next chapter is, because I want to know what it's going to be and if it's okay with me. Or sometimes I might want to just grab that pen, their hand, and start writing on my own. As chapter 12 begins, it says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Who is writing our story? Jesus is writing our story. "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." He is the author of our faith. He is writing our story. And I don't know about you, but if I could choose any author that has ever lived to write my story, this is the one. He is writing the story of who we are to be. And so the question this morning, there are a few, are we letting him? Because he's trying to. And then what are we going to do with that story as he writes? Are we going to be an active part of the story, or are we going to stand in the way of that story? Where do we fit in to God's story? It's a question people wrestle with for thousands of years. Where do we fit into God's story this morning? Because if you don't think you do, I have a surprise for you. You do. God wants you at work in his story. Each one of these people in Hebrews 11 that we just read about was living a pretty ordinary life before that moment came. Each one of them was just going on with their daily thing before that moment came, and then God came into contact with them. And so when God comes into contact with us, do we change and become a part of his story? I want to share with you something a little different this morning. I saw this earlier this week from The Message. And if you've not read The Message, I would not lead you there for some sort of doctrinal truth, But at the same time, Eugene Peterson, the guy who wrote the message, basically sat down with the Bible and thought, how would I say this if I was saying it today? What kind of words would I use? What would the language be? What would the phrases be? And so he went through the entire Bible and wrote as if he were writing today. And this is the way he puts Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up to the real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ. He wants you to be the real you, only he wants the real you to be better. And I don't know about you, but the real me needs to be better. We can all be more like him. That's what he desires of us. He desires that we actually die to this life we said we have died to and live to this new life that we have taken on. It should show up every day in what we do. I love this graduation stuff because it always takes me back to mine. And I like to reminisce and I like to think about those times. I like to think about my senior Sunday at church. There were seven of us, 4 guys, 3 girls. A lot of us had gone through school together since the first grade. And we all had dreams set ahead of us of what we were going to be. I, this morning, somewhere in the world, was going to be a surgeon. I'm not. My friend Robert, with all the planes on his ceiling, he was going to be a pilot in the Air Force. He is putting together Volkswagens at the factory in Chattanooga. My friend Thad, I can't remember what he was going to do. He works from home, writes curriculum and stuff for companies. He does a lot of dealing with the Ford company in their leadership department. We've got a stay-at-home mom in that crew. We've got a teacher in that group. Got an accountant in that group. The accountant, by the way, when he was born, his parents were told he won't live very long and he will never walk on his own. He walks around with a cane today. He is the mic of a church in Mobile, Alabama. He does all the audio and the video and all those things, does accounting during the week. I don't know where life will take our graduates this morning. For some of you, whatever the plan is that you have mapped out, it will be exactly that. You have mapped it out so perfectly. Hopefully with God as your guide, that it will take you exactly where you thought you would go. For a lot of you, you will get about 5 years down the road and think, this is not what I had in mind. And honestly, some of those for good and some of those for bad. But whatever our story is, if we have God in the midst of it, if we are allowing Jesus to be the author of our faith, then that story is going to turn out just fine. It's going to be what we need it to be, and we are going to be who he wants us to be. This morning, if God is not writing your story, he is standing and ready. He's got that papyrus out, or that scroll, or that journal, or however you might imagine it, and he is ready to begin taking the lead on where your story is supposed to go. And if you have gotten a few pages past him and don't like the direction it's going in, he will gladly take the pen back. He wants to be a part of all of our stories this morning. If you would like to hand that to him for the first time, take him on in baptism. If you would like to have something that the church can pray about, or if you would just like to release control and let him take over again, whatever need you may have, please come as we stand and sing.